When Ronald Reagan was elected president in November 1980, he hoped to defy an unusually grim circumstance of that office. In the seven previous even-numbered decades, every U.S. president had died in office, four times from assassins' bullets. A few months later, on March 30, 1981, as President Reagan strolled outside the Washington Hilton Hotel, he nearly met the same fate.
Here is a news bulletin from the RKO Radio Network. This just in, shots have reportedly been fired as President Reagan left the Washington Hilton Hotel this afternoon. White House officials say the president was not hit, but there are reports that three people were wounded by gunfire.
Well, we know the rest of the story is a little different than that RKO Radio report. Now, you, Peter Mayer is here. Now, you were never with RKO Radio News, I assume. No, Peter is maybe not there. I hope to hear him. I know he's on the phone somewhere. We're searching for him right now. Hello? And I, you know, RKO Radio News, I don't even remember it, really. Maybe it was more there used to be WRKO Radio and East Coast stuff. Radio, RKO, if a lot of people don't know, the movie studios and so on, it stood, the name, the letter stood for Radio Keith Orpheum. And Peter Mayer is going to tell us a little bit about all kinds of things that are going on today. Peter, welcome back to KMOX. No, we're not welcoming him back. We are welcoming him back. Peter, are you there?
I hope so. Hi, Johnny.
I hope so, too. Well, look at you. My gosh, you're, there you are surrounded with all your, well, you've given away some of your archives, haven't you? We've got institutions that are clamoring for all this.
Well, I don't know if they're clamoring, but some of my things have gone to some presidential libraries and some military libraries, and I've, you know, making my wife very happy. And I know Mrs. Rabbit from our conversations would like to see some of the same things going on there at the rabbit hutch.
Oh, would she ever? I think we talk about just about every day. What are you going to do with all this stuff?
Every time the mares and the rabbits get together, we talk about this.
We sure do. When are you coming back to St. Louis for a visit?
I'm not sure yet. Nothing on the immediate calendar, but I miss you and Gwen and of course, my own family there.
Oh, of course. And you're from Granite City, correct?
Yes, indeed. And you were talking about the day that Ronald Reagan was shot.
Yes.
And, you know, I think about it quite often. Sometimes when I'm walking around in D.C., I pass by the Ronald Reagan Institute for Emergency Medicine at George Washington University Hospital.
My goodness.
That, of course, is where he was taken.
Hmm.
It wasn't named that at the time, but he certainly put that ER on the map. And as those initial reports that you played indicated, Johnny, they did not think that Ronald Reagan had been hit. And it was an alert Secret Service agent, Jerry Parr, who noticed bright red blood droplets coming from President Reagan's, the corner of his mouth.
Ooh.
And he knew from his training that was very, very serious. And he ordered, they were taking the limousine to the White House. And he said, turn it around and take it to GW, George Washington University Hospital. And that's where Ronald Reagan's life was saved. And, of course, it was an awful day. Besides the president being hit, a Secret Service agent and a D.C. police officer were wounded and survived their wounds. But the most grievous injury went to a wonderful man from Centralia, Illinois, Jim Brady, the president's press secretary, who I had known when I worked in local radio in Illinois. He represented the Illinois Medical Association as sort of a spokesman. And Jim was just universally, really, I can say, adored by reporters who knew him. He was just a jovial guy, but he suffered just a terrible, terrible brain wound. And he and his wife, the late Sarah Brady, both devoted the rest of their lives to working for gun control.
Isn't that, it is really a remarkable story when you go back and think about that. And that is a really long time ago that happened, over 40 years now.
Yes, yes, indeed. But for those of us who were there, I'm not going to say it seems like yesterday,
right,
but the memories of that day are certainly embedded. I was working for the Mutual Radio Network at the time, and the next day I was sent to the hospital where I was fortunate to interview two of the doctors who had treated President Reagan and talked about the seriousness of his wounds. And he was in the hospital for some time. And another remarkable memory that comes back is that on the 25th anniversary of that awful day, I went down to Texas and I interviewed George H.W. Bush, who, of course, was the vice president at the time. And I wanted to get his memories for a CBS News special that we were doing on the 25th anniversary of the Reagan assassination attempt, and met with President Bush, then former President Bush, in his office in Houston. And he said, remarkably, he said to me, "Johnny, would you mind if I took out my diary and read my notes from that day?"
Oh, my goodness.
He said, I don't want to rely on my memory.
That's amazing.
And he told me that he had written, I believe, on a napkin on Air Force Two, because he was flying at the time, "Dear friend, Ronald Reagan, dear friend, he must survive." And, they wanted President Bush, then Vice President Bush, flew back to Washington from wherever he was that day. My memory fails me on where he was, flew back to Washington, and they wanted him to chopper from Andrews Air Force Base to the South Lawn of the White House, and he refused. He said, only the president lands on the South Lawn, not the vice president, and just get me back into the city from Andrews, which is a number of miles away, a few miles away from downtown D.C. Just get me back to the city, and we'll reassure the country that the line of succession is in order.
When you were talking about the mutual broadcasting system last night, I was listening to The Saint with Vincent Price, which was a series on mutual. Then I was thinking about a guy that I used to listen to doing the news, Del Sharbat. Do you remember
him? Oh, yes. I never met Del. He had left Mutual not too long before I got there. And do you know what he's best known for?
No.
Del Sharbat came up with the phrase, or I don't know whether he came up with it, but he was the one who uttered the phrase on the Campbell's Soup commercials. Mm-mm, good.
That's terrific. Yeah. What a legacy that is.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.